The Lord a hand clap of praise and bless his name for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. This morning, as many of you know, we've been journeying through the Gospel of Mark, and from time to time we like to take a few breaks and go to other places in the scriptures, but we will remain in Mark this morning. If you all would turn with me in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, to Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 35 through 40 this morning. I'm pretty sure that as I was reading through Mark for the past few months, actually, and as I encourage all of you to read through Mark as well, and of course highlight a few things, underline some things, jot some questions down that you may have from time to time in your own personal reading and study, you'll find that in this particular section of Mark's gospel account, it's pretty familiar to many of us. I know that reading it over and over, and then also looking at different commentaries and studying things, that it seems to be a place in Mark's gospel account that is familiar to most folks, but it's quite encouraging for many of us as well. So we'll go to Mark's gospel account, chapter 4, beginning with verse 35 and then reading to verse 41. Mark chapter 4. Everyone is there? You ready? On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus, to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Heavenly Father, we give you honor, praise, and glory. It is our prayer that as we come together, Lord God, to search the scriptures, that the scriptures will search our hearts. My prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name, is that you will till the soul of our heart, that the seed of your word will be planted deep within us, that we may bear fruit for your glorious kingdom. Father, we ask, and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you will lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. This morning we are talking about trusting Jesus in the midst of the storms, right? Trusting Jesus in the midst of the storms. We know that if we keep everything in context, we know that Jesus has been healing and teaching and performing many miracles. Jesus has come to this point after a day of being filled with even opposition by the religious leaders of his day. Jesus himself is found himself quite weary. He was sitting in the boat already because of the push of the crowd that was constantly coming toward him to hear what Jesus had to say, to listen to his teachings about the kingdom, the coming kingdom of our great and mighty God. And then, of course, we find where Mark, who is the writer of this gospel, explains that first and foremost, on that same day, the evening begins to come. And Jesus looks to his disciples and he mentions to them, he says to them, "Let's go across to the other side." In other words, Jesus himself has already got some things planned out. He's already got a purpose to continue along with his ministry for he and his disciples to accomplish. That's important for us to remember, my brothers and sisters, because Jesus also has a plan for all of our lives. Amen. Now, this is a point in the story where we understand that these men who are called to be Jesus' disciples, who he is ultimately speaking to, they're quite familiar with being on the water. These are fishermen. I can only imagine that at this time they felt quite comfortable as Jesus told them that he wanted to go on the other side. So they knew exactly what their responsibility was. That their responsibility was to make sure that Jesus was going to take this journey over the Sea of Galilee, which happens to be probably about maybe scholars believe about 13 to anywhere from 19 miles long, and I believe it's like 10 miles wide, but it was 150 feet, possibly, deep. But these men spent many days on the Sea of Galilee. These were fishermen. So they felt quite comfortable. They were used to being on the water. But it's funny because as they are heading their way across to the other side, the Bible tells us that a strong, mighty windstorm came about. Now, I was doing a little bit of research, and it's not uncommon for these things to happen on the Sea of Galilee. Why? Because of the position of where Galilee was located. It was actually surrounded by many mountains and hills and also valleys. So it wasn't uncommon for wind to make its way through and create almost a swirling effect around the water and start to stir the water and create waves and things of that nature. But what was uncommon was for these things to happen during the evening or in the nighttime. So this storm was a different storm. It was a storm that was particular. It was a little bit more fierce. And so there's some things that I think that as we have read through this text, for us to even begin to apply to our own lives as we read today. Number one, the storm's power. In verse 37, my brothers and sisters, we can go there and look at it. And this is what it says. It says, "And a great windstorm arose," okay? And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. So we know that this was some terrifying things that was taking place. Now these guys may have been used to the water and things of that nature, but obviously they were not used to this type of storm. Maybe they have experienced some other storms on the Sea of Galilee before, but this one was quite different. This is one that had placed a fear within their own hearts. You see, this storm was one that just came upon them. It was a sudden storm. Next. It came sudden and unexpectedly. When I was reading this, I thought about how my life is and your life is from time to time. Storms come our way. Am I right about it? And they don't always come around when we expect them. And sometimes they come around at the most inconvenient times in our own lives. Amen. And sometimes they're turbulent. Sometimes they're severe. Sometimes they begin to just destroy and create destruction in our own lives. Listen, these men who were used to these storms and the Sea of Galilee and being out on the water, these men were so frightened that they literally thought that they were going to drown and die in these situations. How do we know that? Because of their response, because of their reaction. The next one, please. These storms were severe and they were threatening. They thought that they were going to lose their lives in the midst of these storms. But the Bible tells us that Jesus wasn't frightened. In fact, Jesus was tired from all the ministry that he had been doing, right? And the Bible tells us that Jesus was asleep while all of these crazy storms that were frightening these brothers in the boat was going on. Jesus himself was sleeping in the midst of the storm. I believe, my brothers and sisters, listen, Jesus has, number one, no fear because of who he is. And I think that even we need to remember that. That even when we face the storms that come our way in life, when they come unexpectedly, when they come suddenly in our lives, when they seem to be severe, and even in some cases seem to be a threat to even our own lives, we must remember that we can trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the midst of the storms that we may face in our own lives. Number two, I'd like to share with you the storms. Listen, the storms' problem. You see, these disciples who had seen Jesus perform other miracles, they've seen him heal some folks. They saw him feed people by miraculous ways. They saw him while he overcame much of the opposition that he had faced from religious leaders and things of that nature. They still had to learn some things. And my brothers and sisters, I know when storms come our way, sometimes we must remember that storms come and have a sense of what? Purpose in our lives, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Because we think that when things are happening in our life, that all of a sudden our lives are going to fall apart. But storms come and challenge us as well. They challenge our faith. And I believe that that's what was taking place in the lives of these disciples as well. Which they presented a challenge or a problem for them. Let's look at some of those problems that they may have brought to these disciples. The disciples began to question the goodness of Jesus. Listen to what the text says. In verse 35, it says this, when the storm came, not 35, I'm sorry, I wrote the wrong text now. It says, but he was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him. And listen to what they say to him. Teacher, do you not care? They woke Jesus up, and the Bible tells us in the original language, listen, that they were literally shaking him and waking him up. They were afraid and thinking to themselves that Jesus doesn't even care about us, that he sees and knows that the storm is taking place and going on, but yet he's not even concerned about our well-being. And the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, that many times, even when we go through the storms of life, what are some of the first things that come to our mind? We wonder if God is there for us. We wonder if he is concerned about what we are facing and what we are going through in our life. But the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, he does. He cares about every situation, every storm that we may face in our lives. Next one, please. They questioned the plan and promise of Jesus. Remember, Jesus started off by simply telling them, let's go across to the other side. Listen, if Jesus says that something's going to happen, if he's going to take you somewhere, if you're going to go somewhere, and guess what? You're going to go there. You see, Jesus already had plans. Jesus already knew that he had ministry to do in other places. So there should have been no doubt at all in the mind of these disciples that they were going to get. Yes, there were storms in the midst of it. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus was going to take them exactly where he had planned to go. The same is true for us. Listen, God has promised us that the moment we gave and surrendered our life to Christ, that we would spend all of eternity with him, that eternal life is ours, right? But guess what? We've got to live through this life. In this life, God has never promised us that everything was going to go well all the time or go the way that we want things to go. Instead, guess what? We're going to face challenges. Things are going to happen in our own lives. We're going to face obstacles. Storms are going to challenge us throughout our lives. But how we choose to deal with those things, it makes all the difference in the world. Are we going to choose to doubt? Question the existence of God? Question whether God is concerned or cares about what we're facing and going through in life? Are we gonna question that God is gonna fulfill his promises to us that he has made? Are we gonna doubt God's word? Are we gonna doubt the fact that God will hold true and keep his promises that he has made to us? Next one, please. Which leads us ultimately, listen, to understand that the storms that we face in life, they also have purpose. God saves us because God has a purpose for us. He didn't save us to keep us and for us to be stagnant. He didn't save us for us to just come to church on Sundays and to just sit in the pews. God has a purpose and plan for our lives. He wants to impact our families. He wants to impact our community. He wants to impact on our jobs. Everywhere we go, he wants to impact because that's what his desire is for that all men will come to repentance and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I know many of us, we think that that's a hard thing to believe, but the truth of the matter is that God has given us everything that we need, namely the Spirit of God living within us and giving us the great message of the gospel to share with everyone we know. We should never be ashamed to preach, to teach, to share the good news with the people around us. That's the whole point, my brothers and sisters. There should be a sense of urgency. So many of us get so concerned with so many other things, and we could care less about spreading the gospel message. But the gospel message is what changes lives. It renews minds. It transforms lives. It makes us new. You and I are brand new creations in Christ, not because of just some education we got or because, you know, maybe we got a new job or whatever it may be. No, we are brand new creation in Christ because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. Because you have accepted the gospel message. Because you have surrendered your life to the kingdom of God. So now that you have surrendered your life to the kingdom, you are servants of the king. And we have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to share his great message of the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Even in the midst of the storms. So storms have purpose. Next one, please. You see, the purpose for them was, it was to realize that Jesus, his power over the storm. Nothing comes as a surprise to God. Nothing comes as a surprise. Do you think that Jesus was surprised when they woke him up and told him that it was storming? Not at all. Because even Jesus looked at them after he spoke to the storm, and we don't even know what the source of the storm was. Was it natural? Possibly. Maybe the storm came because God brought forth the storm to teach the disciples something. And sometimes that happens in our own life, right? Maybe the storm was brought on by demonic forces. Some scholars believe that could be true because of the words that Jesus used to say, be still, to the storm is the same word in the original Greek language that he used when he cast out demons out of people who were demon-possessed. When he said, be still or be silent, it had the same result. It's the same Greek word. So they believe that possibly Jesus recognized that there was some demonic force behind the storm to create an issue for the ministry in which he was called to do along with his disciples. We're not 100% sure. The Bible doesn't explain that. But the reality of it is that we know that storms come and can be created by different sources. God could bring them. There could be some demonic forces that bring them. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, if truth be told, guess what? We cause the storms in our own lives as well. Just because and through the decisions and choices that we make in our lives, we can bring those own storms in our life and we have to deal with them. If we're honest, amen? Next one, please. So sometimes we have to not only realize that, listen, Jesus has great power over any storms that we may face in our lives. That's number one. Number two, listen, Jesus is to realize that Jesus keeps his promises. I mentioned it earlier. If Jesus promised us that he's going to do something in our lives, then guess what? We can believe it. No matter what the storms may happen, because those things can help grow us and develop us and create character in our lives. Because remember, God is molding us and shaping us to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. He's not trying to make me a better Kevin. He's not trying to make you a better you. He's trying to mold us and shape us to be more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we can live this life out in our lives to love like him, to be compassionate and to be merciful and gracious and be forgiving. That's why every time Jesus said, listen, forgive those who have done wrong to you. Listen, forgive them as I have forgiven you. To love as I have loved you. That's how we are to love folks, not how we want to love them. Not forgive them the way we want to forgive. But how he has. And how we have experienced it ourselves. Have you experienced mercy? The mercy that God has extended to all of humanity? And that's how we should extend mercy to others. Have you experienced his compassion and his grace? Then we should extend that to the people around us. I know life is challenging. I know people don't always act the way you want them to act or do everything that you want them to do. But let's ask ourselves the question. In comparison, in our relationship with God, do we always do everything that God calls us to do? Do we? So why the expectations? Why do we put all these expectations on other people when we know, ultimately, we can't accomplish those expectations our own selves, but we put them on everybody else? That's where grace comes in. That's why we need grace each and every day of our lives. Because grace is not just the unmerited favor of God, but grace is also the strength in which God gives us to live this life out. We need grace, my brothers and sisters. We need his grace. And then to realize, listen, that there is safety, watch this, in the presence of Jesus. What Jesus needed his disciples to know, as well as for us to know, is that as long as he is with us, no matter what happens in our life, we're going to be okay. Life is supposed to bring its challenges. Life is supposed to bring the storms. They're going to come. It's inevitable. But knowing that Jesus is right there with us throughout that it all, that he is able to overcome it all. If you look at chapter 5 and verse 1, I'm going to read it to you real quick so that way you'll know that I'm not just telling you any old thing. This is what it says. They came, watch this, to the other side. They didn't shipwreck. The ship didn't break apart. They didn't drown. They made it to the other side because Jesus was with them. I don't know what you're facing in your life right now. I don't know what you're going through right now. There's different storms in different lives. Some of you may be going through the storms of suffering. Some may be going through the storms of sorrow. Some, there may be storms of sin. That's the reality. But I can guarantee you from what we see in Scripture and what we read in God's Word that God has promised us that he will always be here with us and that he will see us through whatever we may face in our lives. Listen, he loves us. And yes, he cares about every aspect of our life. Peter reminds us to take everything to God in prayer. Why? Because he tells us that God cares. God cares about you, no matter what you face. Listen, we, my brothers and sisters, can trust our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in every storm. We can. But that's a decision and a choice that we have to make. We can choose to focus on the storms, or we can choose to put our focus on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and bless his name. And if you all will stand to your feet for a moment. What a wonderful opportunity we have now for those of you who are here today as we have come together and those of you who are watching in. We invite you to come into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the only way in which you are able to do that is through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life, surrendered his life, who was willing to pay the price for all of our sin, to cleanse us and wash us, to reconcile us into a right relationship with God. The Bible tells us that if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God is not looking for perfection. Jesus is the only one who is perfect. And he made the perfect and ultimate sacrifice. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, you are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. The old, listen, has passed away and all things have become new. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, what an opportunity you have to do so today. You're listening and watching in with us today. We'd love for you to make the best decision that you can make in your life, the decision to make Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that is you today, will you make that decision? We invite you to do so, and we would love to pray for you. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that has taken place today, and we give you honor, praise, and we give you glory. And we pray for those who are here today and those who may be listening and watching in, who have a desire to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, that they would choose that today. And Father, we ask, Lord, for those of us who have already made that choice, that decision, Lord, that we will strive to live this life out. But we know, Lord, that we're not able to do it without the help of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. We ask and seek your forgiveness of our sins. Help us, dear Lord, to live in such a way that brings glory, honor, and praise to your holy and righteous name. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. 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 Certainly, if you've made that decision for Christ today, we'd love to stay in touch with you. You can contact us through our email, wmbcva1@gmail.com. We'd love to take some information from you and lift you up in our prayers. And if you're looking for a church home, White Marsh Baptist Church is a great place to begin that journey. You can come by way of letter, by way of Christian experience, and by way of baptism. If you're searching for a church home, we are in prayer with you and for you with that as well. God bless each and every one of you. Father.